Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalms chapter 96. Psalms 96. And we'll be reading the first five verses of Psalms 96, verses 1 through 5. I'll read the odd numbered verses if you'll join me with the evens, 2 and 4 of Psalms 96. And once you've found that, if you'll please stand in honor of reading of God's Word this morning. Psalms chapter 96, beginning verse number 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. The Lord made the heavens. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You so much for the reading of Your Word. What a blessing it is to be in Your house. We pray that You bless the special before the sermon this morning. Bless the speaker. Lord, I pray You prepare our hearts for what's going to be spoken. Lord, we listen attentively to what You have for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Some people steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and what it will buy. But don't they know on the judgment day?
See Gene Autry out there with his guitar and on his horse saddle riding along singing, amen. Sound like a cowboy song, brother, the old campfire cowboy song. Hey, that worked. All right, I want to speak this morning on this subject, the ultimate goal, all right? And we'll use Psalm 96 almost in its entirety. We may not have time to hit every verse, but I hope you have your Bible open if you brought it today. And I want to speak to you on the ultimate goal. We'll try to summarize this whole month of missions emphasis, and ask the Lord's blessing before we begin. Our Father, we are grateful today for the blessing to have a Bible. and to have access to it so that we can read it and learn from it. But Lord, I pray that Your Spirit will teach it to us today. I pray that You'll help me, fill me with Your power, fill every listener with Your Spirit as well, and help us, Lord, may the truth penetrate our hearts and encourage us, enthuse us about this subject of missions. Thank You for the good report, Lord, about the radio, internet, TV ministry. I pray that You'll prosper it even more so till all can hear the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the day we have before us. Help us in this service in Jesus' name. And amen. Now, it's always for me both refreshing and challenging when we give several services to the subject of missions in the month of February. I have been blessed this month. I've been challenged in my heart about this matter of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to both see and hear from the veteran and the young missionaries at the conference whose hearts, you know, yearn to reach more on their respective fields has been encouraging. You know, in a climate of Christian apathy, a climate of Christian apathy, it's good to know that some still have a fire burning in their hearts to accomplish a mission for Jesus Christ. If you didn't sense that in the brother's testimony just a little bit ago, Brother Zaris' testimony, there's a fire burning in his heart. And I'm glad in the era of Christian apathy that there are those whose hearts are still on fire for sending the gospel around the world. And it might help you and me to keep the fire burning in our hearts if we would get excited or enthused about and even understand the whole or the ultimate purpose of missionary efforts. And this would include our missionary giving. Okay, not just our missionary efforts in the community with tracts and knocking on doors, inviting people to services and witnessing to folks, but I'm talking about the money that you and I put in the plate. You may think for a minute that I am a heretic and I've lost my mind, which is a short trip really, but just hang in there with me this morning, okay? But the purpose of missionary service actually is bigger than the salvation of souls. Now, Brother Zaris talked this morning about putting all these millions, even billions of people under the sound of the gospel so that their soul can be saved. Brother, you can't put a price on that. That's precious, all right? But that's the salvation of souls is definitely part of it, probably the major part of it. I'm talking about men, women, boys, and girls hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died, was buried, and rose again so that they can be saved and delivered from an eternity in hell. That is huge. But there is actually more to it than just the aspect of souls being saved. That is the thrust. That's the main thrust. But the ultimate purpose goes beyond that, transcends that. And I believe this passage spells it out. Now, before we get into Psalm 96, you might want to just mark in your Bible 1 Chronicles 16. We're not going there today, but those are parallel passages of Scripture. And remember that when you're reading the Bible and you're reading in Kings and Samuel and Kings and Chronicles about David, remember that there's a lot in the Psalms that corresponds to those passages because David was the author of the bulk of the Psalms, okay? He is the author of this Psalm. This Psalm 96 is a song that David sang. It's recorded back in 1 Chronicles 16. It's from his life. Now, let me give you the setting of the song, okay? David has just been instrumental in bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. It had been in the possession of the Philistines. It had been gone from Israel for a long time in the presence of Israel's enemies. And here's the thing, folks, listen carefully. Those enemies, and another word for enemies was the word heathen, all right? The definition of a heathen is one who does not recognize the God, the Jehovah God, as the one true God. You got a lot of heathen right here in America, okay? And so the Ark of the Covenant, the most precious piece of furniture from the tabernacle, had been in the possession of the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, heathen, okay? The heathen knew nothing of the Ark's meaning. The heathen knew nothing of the Ark's purpose. Even more, they didn't understand who the Ark represented. Jehovah God. And so it's been gone from Israel for all these years. And just to really summarize it, there's so much more to it. David was instrumental in bringing it back to Jerusalem, the place it was supposed to be. And brother, did he get excited. I'm talking about happy. I'm talking about enthusiastic. He bordered on the Pentecostal. He leaped and he jumped for joy. And you remember he danced with all of his might. Not some kind of sensual, suggestive, wicked dance, but his feet just couldn't stand still. He was like a little boy on Christmas morning. I mean, just he was absolutely beside himself. Remember his wife, Michael, looked out the window and saw him rejoicing. And the Bible says she despised her husband in her heart. Better be careful of that, ladies. You better not despise your husband in your heart. That's horrible. And she despised him. And she thought little of his excitement. And she ridiculed his enthusiasm. And she belittled his joyful behavior. I mean, she just despised it. I'm going to tell you something. David was excited. And David was enthusiastic. And David was joyful for all the right reasons and for the right person. He was happy for God. He wasn't just excited for himself and for the people of Israel. He was happy for God. Be careful when you ridicule or despise or belittle somebody's real joy. Be careful when you do that, friend. You can get yourself in dangerous ground with God. Do you know that God dried up Michael's womb and she never conceived a child? And that doesn't mean that anybody, that every lady who conceives can't conceive a child is being punished by God. But in this case, He punished her by drying up her womb, never allowed her to conceive a child. And it was because she despised her husband's enthusiasm and his excitement about the things of God. The ark, representing the very presence of God, was brought back to its proper place where the people of God could treat it properly. And brother David began to rejoice and he began to sing. And that's what we have in Psalm 96. And I want to show you two or three things this morning, depending on how much time we have in the message, because I might get bogged down, and if I do, that's okay, all right? Number one, I want you to see this morning about missions and how this fits into Psalm 96. Missions opens the door for God to receive His due. Missions opens the door for God to receive His due. Look down at verse number 8. The Bible says, David is singing here, and he says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." And actually, all down from verses 1 through 9 here, you learn where God, when the ark came back to Jerusalem, the result was that God was getting His due. God was receiving what He deserved. And as you read this passage, this David's song about the ark being in its proper place, you realize that David's joy and enthusiasm and excitement is not for himself, but for his God. God is getting what God deserved. And that made David happy. You know, when you truly love someone, you're never envious or jealous of them receiving their due respect and honor. No. And David loved God. David was very thrilled that God received due honor and due glory. Some years ago, this has been a while back now, back in the 2003, 2004, Brother Dave Smith in the year 2004 had been at Cedar River Baptist Camp as camp director out there in Iowa for 20 years. 20 years as a camp director in that wonderful place out there. And I mean, boy, that place had an impact on, seriously, thousands of lives of people. And Brother Dave, the ministry was not under the canopy, particularly of any local church. They all attended Marion Avenue there in Washington, Iowa. But God put it on my heart, in light of Dave's 20th anniversary out there, to try to rally some churches and friends of the camp and do something nice for them. Some of you were here back then. You may remember that. I remember meeting up here in Posen, Illinois, with Brother Bill Steadman and Brother Dan Woodward. And the three of us kind of planned a 20-year celebration service for Dave Smith and the camp. We kept it secret from him. We kept it a secret. And we raised money. We were actually able to raise, I think, a total of $24,000. We made a check out to Brother Dave Smith for $20,000, a check out to his wife for a couple of thousand, a check out to his two children for $1,000 apiece, I believe it was. Money came in from all over the places here in the Midwest. And then I got on the phone with the guest speaker for that week, and I told him what we were going to do. And I said, Brother, could you come up with a message on Thursday night that would kind of fit the occasion? And we'll be there to direct the service. We're just going to take over. And, buddy, if you know Dave Smith, that wasn't easy to do, okay? That old ex-Marine, you know. So, excuse me, that more Marine, not ex-Marine, okay, for you guys. But and so I called Brother Gomez, and I said, hey, I told him what we were doing. And, of course, his church gave some money. I said, hey, brother, what's the possibility of you giving Dave Smith an honorary doctor's degree from Providence Baptist College in light of all of his years of service? He said, man, that's a great idea. And he sent Mike Hall out to the camp that night with a diploma and a cap and gown, and we took over the service. And we had testimonies, and we sent Brother Dave out, and he's out there, and they put this gown on him. He looked beautiful, you know. Put that gown on him and put that cap on, and somebody played Pomp and Circumstance, and he came down the aisle, and Mike Hall conferred the degree of honorary doctors of something, you know, on Dave Smith. Everybody, the place was packed and jammed, a tent full of people, and then we presented the gifts to them. And, you know, that was one of the most exciting things that I was ever privileged to be a part of. Because, boy, oh boy, they labored out there. I remember them coming home from being out on the road promoting the camp. And the weather had gotten cold while they were gone. And all the pipes were frozen. And they had to get out there and dig and dig and do all those pipes. And one year, they had one of those kerosene heaters. Remember those old kerosene heaters there? And the flame had gone out. And when they came home off the road, they opened up their house. The house was covered with black soot. Just covered everywhere. Their clothes, their furniture. They were in one church's prophet's chamber, you know, going to be there. And the carbon monoxide levels went high. Y'all remember that? And they almost, I mean, it was either Davina or Shauna almost died. They had to rush to the hospital. And in light of what all Brother Dave had been through to keep that camp open, having the opportunity to recognize his faithfulness and honor him and kind of have his night, if you will. Brother, that was one of the most enjoyable things that I ever got to be a part of. When you love somebody, you're never jealous or envious of them getting their due, their honor. And David loved God. And I want to tell you, folks, what we see in David's rejoicing here really is the ultimate reason for you and me to be excited about missions. He is excited because he's excited for God. Because the Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. Now, one of the results of missions giving and missionary work that goes beyond the salvation of a soul is missions opens the door for God to receive glory. Of course, he gets glory from the salvation of the soul. But he gets glory from a life that's given, committed to him. And lives that are dedicated to him. Missions opens that door. There is no doubt but that it is right to honor and respect the missionaries themselves. I mean, look, to leave home and to leave family and culture and country and go to distant lands is an incredible challenge. And it's right to recognize the missionary. It's not wrong to lift up the names of William Carey and David Livingston and Robert Moffat and John Stamm and C.T. Studd and Hudson Taylor and William Christie and Adoniram Judson and Jim Elliot and Rick Martin and Kendall Lawman. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing in the people that are saved under their ministries. But missions goes far beyond that. Ultimately, missions exalts the name of God. And that's what David says all through this chapter. Look at verse number 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord. In verse number 2, bless His name. Verse number 3, declare His glory. Verse 3, declare His wonders. Verse 5, praise Him. He is to be feared above all gods. Verse number 8, give unto the Lord the glory. Verse number 9, oh worship. Do you see this? Do you see why David's happy? Do you see why he's singing? He's saying God is getting what God deserves. God deserves glory. God deserves honor. God deserves praise. God deserves worship. God deserves His name to be lifted up. God deserves the song of our heart and the song of our lips. And David was he was thrilled because God was getting what God deserved. Missionary work is about God. It's about God's name, God's glory, God's honor, God's majesty, God's power, God's Son, God's salvation. And friend, one of the exciting things and one of the enthusiastic things about giving to missions is because of what God receives from it. But God receives glory. Now look, you know, we see the presentations. We see the, you know, up here on the screen, and we see the smiles of the people. And we see sometimes, you know, we hear their stories from the missionaries, and we see the results of the gospel message, you know, and here's a church here, and here's a church. I wish everybody here could have seen Dave Maskey's presentation when he was here, and those churches in Africa, and Kendall Lawman and those churches in China. And we sit, we look at that, and we see their faces, and we rejoice in their stories, and the churches are started. And, you know, sometimes the tears come to our eyes. I think it was on Sunday night when Josh Wesson showed his presentation about the people in the Dominican Republic. And you know, I don't know if you can sense, if you're that sensitive or not to the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God came in that room on Sunday night, and our hearts were touched, and there were people sniffing, and to see that deaf man talking about salvation and all that it meant to him to be saved. And you know, that's wonderful. And it's good to be excited, and we rejoice in that, and the tears come down our cheeks, and we're so full of joy. Hey, we're full of joy for the missionary because look at that. And we're so full of joy for the people because look at that. But how often does our joy and our tears and our thrill and our satisfaction extend beyond the missionary and the people to the one who is seated high and lifted up above all that is in the heavens? And you know, He gets glory. And that's what David is jumping about. That's what David is singing about. That's what he's rejoicing about. That's what he's excited about. God's getting what God deserves. God's getting what God deserves. He's getting his due. He's getting what he deserves. God is now recognized and honored and glorified and worshiped from a group of people who did not previously recognize him or honor him or gratify him. And he is now receiving his due. Look at it in verse number 5. It says there, for all the gods of the nations are idols. You understand? That is a wonderful thing. When missionaries go into places, watch this, where cultures and people once worshipped the work of their own hand, the work of wood and the work of stone and the work of iron, some idol that they made. And they bow down to that idol and they honor that idol and they worship that idol and they sometimes give sacrificially to that idol, which is the creation of their hands. Right? But now, because people gave and missionaries went with the message of the gospel, they no longer worship the creation of their hands. They worship the Creator who made them. And that is the ultimate about missions work. Yes, they don't have to die and go to hell. Yes, they have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, they get to spend eternity in heaven. But greater than that, it's more than what the missionary can take from it. It's more than what the saved can take from it. It's what God gets from it. It's glory. It's honor. It's worship. It's praise. It makes me want to ask the question, is anybody happy for God? Is anybody happy for God? We watch these presentations and then we say, man, I'm happy for Kendall Lawman. 3 years without a convert. And now he's got 4 churches. I'm happy for him. We watch those presentations. Man, I'm happy for Brian Nibby over there. Now his son's going back to Romania as a missionary. And look at those people. I'm happy for them. I'm so happy that deaf man is saved. Where is the person who sits in the pew and says, yes, I'm happy for the missionary. Yes, I'm happy for the convert. But I'm also happy for God. I'm happy for God. God is getting his due. You know, if you were here for Wednesday morning service, Brother Vaughn spoke Sunday morning, going to Cambodia. And if you were here, he gave testimony. Both he and his wife were reached through the missionary efforts of David Board. Now, Dave Board used to come to the meetings, Brother Brian, with his dad as a little boy. Listen, Don't you ever underestimate the preaching of God's Word and putting your kids in a preaching conference, a preaching. Dave Borg drove from Des Moines, Iowa with his family year after year after year after year. And he was involved in that General Association of Regular Baptist Church, and it was dying and dead. And he brought his kids down there to hear Curtis Hudson and to hear Harold Seitler and to hear Jack Hiles and to hear Bob Gray from Florida and all those preachers. And that little boy sat in all those services and his heart got on fire for God. And now he is in Cambodia and in a closed country and reaching people with the gospel. And Brother Vaughn and his wife are products of his ministry. I'm so happy for Dave Borg. We support him. I'm so happy for him. I can still see him as a little kid. Preaching services will do far more for you than concerts. Oh yeah, you better be careful whose model you're following, folks. You better check out the end result before you just haul off and follow anybody's model about their child rearing. Amen and amen. Oh, listen. I'm so happy for that little guy. I'm so happy for his dad. By the way, he's long gone from the Garb Church now and doing something entirely different. And I'm so happy for that man and his family. That little boy's grown up. I'm so happy for Brother Vong. What a delightful man. What a delightful family. And now they're going back to Cambodia with the gospel. I'm so happy. I'm happy for Brother Vong. I'm happy for Brother Borg, his work, his sacrifice. I'm happy for the people of Cambodia. Delivered from idolatry and dead religion. You say you kind of sound like the God of Israel, the God of heaven is the only true God. That's what he said. Look at verse number 5. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord, that's Jehovah God, made the heavens. He's the one true God, friend, by right of creation. He put it all together. And I'm so happy for Cambodian people who have turned and in repentance toward a man and faith toward God and repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They have turned from idols to serve the true and living God. I'm happy for those people. But man, is anybody happy for God? Anybody happy for God? Anybody happy that in Cambodia, in that little area of that country, God gets glory? Anybody happy that God gets worship? Friend, do you understand this morning that these flags represent countries where we have missionaries, and many of them have already had their services where they sang. I have more video clips out of Madagascar I could show you, but I don't want to just inundate you with the clips from our son's work. But I'm going to tell you something. Hours ago, a group of 65, 70, 75 people met, and they sang the roof off to praise God and worship God. And yes, I'm happy for Ben, and yes, I'm happy for them, but is anybody happy for God? Now, God gets respect, and God gets glory, and God gets honor, and God gets praise, and God gets recognized, and that's what God deserves. He deserves it. So missions opens up the opportunity for God to get His due worship, His due praise. When you and I put some money in the plate a little while ago, as the plate went by, and we put some money in there for missions. Oh yes, that helps the missionary, and it helps the people the missionary is reaching. But ultimately, friend, it transcends all that, and it helps God receive what God is due. What God is due, He deserves it. Now let me say number two this morning, that missions opens the door for true harmony among all people. Missions opens the door for true harmony among all people. I'll show you the verses in just a minute. They'll bless you. But I'm going to say this before I get there. Humanism and humanists. One of the goals of humanism and humanists is for the unity of the world. So to somehow bring the world into perfect harmony with each other. To bring or usher in world peace. Watch this. To create heaven on earth. That's the humanist goal. You can read it in the Humanist Manifesto. And one of the ways they do that, the way they do it, they put great emphasis. Come on, Brother Luke, Brother Mike, stand up here. Their goal is human unity and human peace, world peace. And their emphasis is you get along with him and you get along with him because he has rights and you have rights. And you remember his rights, and you remember his rights. You both remember each other's rights, and you get along. And their emphasis is all on the horizontal. Well, how are we doing? How are we doing? I don't think it's working, folks. I don't think that true harmony and true unity and true peace among all people is only possible when God is properly enthroned. Now, you look at verse number 10 here. Thank you, fellows. Look at verse number 10. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Who reigns? Not man. Man is at the center of humanism. Say among the heathen, the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. You know, right now the world is moved against each other because of sin and the nature of sin. Nations are moved against one another. The world rocks and rolls with wars and rumors of wars and stealing and lying and lust and greed. And the humanist just keeps pushing for more rights and more rights and more rights. And if we exercise everybody's rights, we'll all get along. No. Never take the horizontal approach. You take the vertical approach, friend. And when God is properly enthroned, and when God is properly recognized, and when God is properly exalted, and when God's name is properly lifted up, and when God is properly worshipped, and when God is properly served, He is the one that brings all people together into harmony. Look at what it says in verse number 10 again. That it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. And let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar. And not with anger, with joy. And the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful. And all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. The whole creation is set in harmony when God is exalted. When God is worshipped, not the creation of the hand of man, not some piece of wood, not some piece of rock, not some piece of metal, but when God is worshipped, when God is recognized, when God is honored, when God is served, when God is received, when His Word is exalted. Oh, friend, He brings all of creation into harmony. And by the way, that includes human beings. Now, he can tell you better than I can. 65 countries, I think you said. 65 countries, he can tell you better than I can. I have only been I don't take time to count them up. But I'll promise you, friend, I have been among the white-skinned people of this world. I mean off of this continent. In New Zealand. In Australia. I have been in Canada. Okay? And yes, Canada's part of this continent. I do know that. Okay, very good. All right. I've been amongst the dark-skinned people. Brother Zaris, I've not been to Africa per se, the continent. I was in Madagascar. You've been in the continent of Africa to the dark-skinned people. You've been to the yellow-skinned people. You've been to the red-skinned people. You've been to the tan, the brown-skinned people. 65 countries, folks. He's been everywhere. You know what brings them together? Their rights. Baloney. You know what creates a kindred spirit? And you've been more than I have. You get in these foreign countries. And somebody has to translate for you because you can't speak their language and you don't know their culture. But there is a kindred spirit. There is a oneness. There is a harmony. There is a unity. And it's not because I've recognized his rights or he's recognized my rights. It's because we worship the same God. And the worship of God brings the world. I've said it before. Some of you old timers, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Remember that? Na, 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 na. And you know, Coca-Cola used that for, but I think that was an actual song that wasn't necessarily about Coca-Cola. And that idea of getting everybody on the mountaintop, you know, and swaying and hold, that's the humanist goal. Come on, fellas. The humanist mindset is... Now, there's a humanist, I don't think. So, the goal here, the mindset is, you know, let's all horizontally love each other, and you know... And go. There we go. Now we're working together. Yeah. It never happens, friend. You know that. But you get a bunch of, thank you, but you get a bunch of folks of different colored skin and different cultures in a room where people are singing, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not how great thou art, how great thou art. There's a love and there's a unity and there's a harmony and there's a peace. It has nothing to do with this direction. It has everything to do with that direction. And I'm not just giving you a pep run this morning. I'm saying that's what David's excited about. He's excited about the fact that the ark is back where it belongs. And now the whole world can experience blessings and God is being worshipped and God is being exalted. And you and I got to say, boy, don't take that Brother Angel is not excited about the salvation of souls and says that's not important. It is. It is. It is. You can't separate that from giving God glory. But missions transcends that. It transcends just the salvation of the soul. Yes, I'm glad for that person. He or she is not going to hell. Of course, that's wonderful. But beyond that, there is a deserving God in heaven who is worthy of all glory and honor. And missions opens the door for that, opens the door to bring people into harmony with each other. I'm done. I don't have time to finish the last point, but missions prepares people for the Lord's coming kingdom. Look at the last verse. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Look at me. I'm done this morning. Hey, there's not going to be a judgment of Americans and then a judgment of Chinese and then a judgment of Koreans and then a judgment of Australians and then a judgment of Europeans, and then a judgment of South Americans. There is a judgment of people. And there is a standard of righteousness and a body of truth by which all people are going to be judged. Right, church? That's not American. That's not French. That's not Italian. That's not South African. That's not Malagasy. It's not Indian or Chinese. It's people. So one message prepares the world for judgment. One message prepares the world. When you and I, you don't understand, folks, if we gave all our money to humanitarian purposes, maybe teach people how to grow corn or plant this or plant that, you understand that there might be a part of the world that just doesn't apply to? We're not going to do real good with corn in the Arctic Circle. But one message reaches people from the Arctic Circle, North Pole to the South Pole, from west to east to west and west to east. One message is universal, and that is that Jesus Christ died to provide salvation for all people. And if you get saved, it prepares you for the everybody's going to stand before God, not in a Japanese judgment, not in a Chinese judgment, not an American judgment or a Mexican judgment. It's a judgment of people. And then ultimately we come out of that into the judgment seat of Christ, and of course the great white throne later on, but then the millennial kingdom. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. The message of the Bible, the message of salvation, missions opens the door for the Lord's and prepares people for the Lord's coming kingdom. Hey, yes, our missions giving allows folks to hear the gospel and be saved. Of course. But is anybody happy for God that God gets the honor He deserves and people come together and worship Him and give Him praise? Things that man cannot do. Governments have tried to legislate racial harmony. You listening to me? You can't legislate racial harmony. Folks, if that was possible, we'd have had it years ago. But there's a person. If his message is received, it creates racial harmony. Yes, it does. And it worships a God who deserves to be. Oh, listen, the ultimate goal of missions giving, yes, it is the salvation of souls, but it transcends that. God gets what He deserves. And is anybody happy for God? I'm happy for God this morning, aren't you? I'm happy that missions gives God what He deserves. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your patience. And I was a little bit probably overly excited about this message, and I'm sorry if I got a little wound up. But you know what? It's good to be wound up about the truth. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. Now listen, I hope you've seriously given some prayer and consideration to your missions giving. We do need it to go up. We need it to increase so that we can take on some missionaries. We really do. And we got some of our own. Of course, Brother Jared and Bernadette were already supporting, but we've got another young person out of this church who's going there, them and their spouse going into full-time work, mission work. We need to take them what we need to get things moving. Let's ask the Lord what He'd have us to do and understand the ultimate goal of our missions giving is not just for the missionary and the people to whom they preach, but it is for God and His glory and His honor and His praise. Now let me ask this morning a question. How many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I can give that testimony by raising my hand. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I know that I'm saved. I can give that testimony this morning. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I'm seeking the truth. I want to know the truth about salvation. I want to know that I'm going to heaven someday. And I'm seeking, I'm yearning to know that I'm saved or that how to be saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here today? I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven someday. Anybody like that today? I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right. Is there anybody here who would say, Pastor, I've been saved, but not baptized since I've been saved? I haven't followed the Lord in believers' baptism yet, and I should. Pray for me about that. Would you slip your hand up? Anybody this morning like that? I've been saved, but not baptized. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Been saved, but not baptized since I've been saved. If you'd like to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, our baptistry is ready this morning, and you can please the Lord by that. You think about that. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege to preach this morning and really preach about You and preach about the glory and the honor and the respect and the love and the worship that You deserve. And Lord, truly You are worthy. You are worthy. And Lord, giving to missions and things like this radio ministry reaching millions of people, Lord, that brings You honor and glory and how wonderful that is. So, Father, thank You for the privilege to give. May we please reach down and obey You and to follow Your leadership in our lives in that matter. I pray for anybody here this morning not saved, that You'd speak to their heart. Pray for these that need to be baptized, Lord, that they would be obedient to You. And we'll thank You for it. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you want to know how to be saved, if you want to find out more about being baptized, when we begin the invitation in just a moment, you can come. Slip out this seat down the aisle. These fellows will help you. You want to come pray and thank the Lord this morning? Did He speak to your heart about something? You can use the altar. Let's stand, please, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed and the ladies are playing a song of invitation. Would you come this morning? I'd like to pray for a minute. That's right. God bless you. Would you come this morning, obey the Lord in believers' baptism, or come to be saved? Just rejoicing in the fact that we have the privilege of honoring God, worshiping God. God gets His due. God gets His honor through the giving of missions around the world. The word goes out. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed.